Welcome to this World Service Conference 2020 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name is Brent, and I am a compulsive debtor. And the topic of this workshop is steps 4, 5, and 6. And our first speaker is Eric. Eric, are you on the line? Eric has step 4. You might want to unmute yourself if you're with us, Eric.
There we go. Yeah, Eric here, step 4. I'm Eric, a debtor. Solvency date, March 13th, 2013. Sorry, I'm a little confusing getting on here. I couldn't get on my laptop, and so I'm on my phone. Just get on at the very last second. But anyway, step 4. Yeah, I'm really glad I get to share my experience, strength, and hope on step 4. Step four, I found to be an amazing experience. I mean, they're all amazing, but step 4. All of a sudden, there's a lot more action. Steps 1 and 2 and 3 were all great. And step 3, there was that concept of relieve me of the bondage of self in that prayer. And I thought that was a great concept. I started thinking about that, like, is my idea of who I am, is that holding me back? So I was already kind of primed to think about that. Then I moved into step 4. And the guy that pushed me on the subway that afternoon, and I wrote a resentment about. So that one was pretty easy to work through, but I had some big ones that were really hard. Kind of resentments that had sort of shaped my whole life. For instance, my dad. When I was a little kid, grew up in a very chaotic household. My dad drank a lot and was a violent person, and very difficult, disapproving of everything. When I was a little kid in school, the only thing that I was good at was art. All the other classes, I had no idea what they were talking about, and I was unsuccessful and failed in just about everything. But when it came to art class, I had a natural aptitude for it, and my teachers could see that and encouraged me. And my third grade teacher gave me a postcard of some beatniks in Washington Square making art. And so I went home that night and I told my parents, when I grew up, I'm gonna move to New York and be an artist. My dad said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You'll never make it as an artist. So that was typical of him. So I had a pretty big bag full of resentments towards my dad that I would have been carrying around my entire life. And until I started working on this program, and I realized, I've got to let go of those. I got to let go of this one especially. And it was tough because it was so much a part of my identity. The fact that I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and, you know, didn't let my dad keep me down, and have created a career, a successful career as an artist. I just had my 11th solo show. But I would always tell this story about my dad, my discouraging dad. And, I kind of believed that worked in my favor until working on the fourth step. And in December of 2016, some friends were posting on Facebook like bad gift ideas that they asked for when they were little kids. And I asked my dad for this gift when I was a little kid, and my dad said to me, why would you want that? That's something a girl would want. And so I posted that, and of course all my friends were like, oh, that's horrible, what a terrible dad you had. And then my aunt, my dad's sister, saw that, and she made a comment. Yeah, of course, that's something your dad would say. And I just thought about her, and I thought, I wonder how that feels for her to see that. You know, probably is not much fun for her to see her nephew talk about what a bad guy her brother was. And so I just took it down. It was no big deal. I survived. I would have gotten more sympathy from my friends. But I lived without it just fine. And so that kind of got me on the path towards letting go of these resentments towards my dad. I wasn't all the way there, not nearly. So then I sat down one day and I made a painting of my dad. That's right behind me. But I told myself, when I make this painting, leave the resentment out and just make it about love. Because my mom's still with us, and she's been able to tell me, like, oh yeah, your dad was crazy about you. He loved you so much. And so that was able that allowed me to see my dad as a guy who was good and bad, kind of like all of us. But I wasn't quite there yet, 100%, you know, forgiving my dad. I was still working on step four, and especially these ones about my dad just kept getting in the way. I couldn't get over that hurdle. And so a couple months later, I was staying at a beach house with a bunch of people that I didn't know, and I was feeling kind of out of sorts, and I needed a meeting. And they didn't have any DA meetings out in Fire Island, so I went to church. They had a little church service, and there were about six people in this little community center, and they handed me a program, and they said, oh, and here's a list. If you have a name of someone that you'd like to have a prayer said for, you can just write their name down there, and they'll say a prayer. And I just wanted to be a good parishioner. I just wanted to be, you know, people pleaser. And so the first name that came to mind was my dad. And so I wrote his name down, and then I walked into the service, and I'm thinking to myself, you're having a prayer said for your dad. And, you know, a couple of years ago, really the only prayer I could think of for him was something along the lines of burn in hell. And now I'm church, you know, having a prayer said for him. And I kind of lost it in that church service, realizing what I had done. And when they got to the point where they're saying the prayer for him, at my insistence or my, as a result of my actions, I really lost it to the point where, like, afterwards people were coming up to me, are you okay? And but honestly, that was the biggest gift I could ever give myself, just like letting go of that baggage that I had been carrying around all my life. And you know, it kept giving to me after, you know, after I let go of the resentments, the gifts just kept coming. You know, I went back to my studio after my beach vacation, after this prayer event. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm working with, like, I'm 1,000 times more confident and I'm more willing to take chances and, you know, just feeling good about myself. Because again, like I mentioned earlier, this, process of having working through the fourth step, and specifically on my dad, or anybody, you know, working through all the fourth step, letting go of those resentments, and seeing people as both good and bad, people I resent, you know, seeing that they're good in them, allowed me to forgive myself. And that's been a big issue all my life, just feeling like I'm a bad guy, or that I'll never do anything right, or I'm going to be destined to failure. But somehow forgiving everybody else, especially forgiving my dad, allowed me to forgive myself. And that's, you know, one of the great gifts of this program and certainly of the fourth step. I have no idea where we're at here with time. So, I think I will probably, I'll probably end. Thank you.
All right. Great to see you, Eric. That was, great sharing. So awesome to see you. And, it's so brave of you to come out and share your experience, strength and hope with the rest of us. So that was awesome. Really appreciate it. Great artwork too. Okay, Annie, I think we got you unmuted, so the floor is yours.
Hi, thank you. My name's Annie, and I'm a grateful recovering debtor and under-earner. Really happy to be here today. I'm going to talk about step five. So, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. I'm going to read a little bit just right out of the 12 and 12. And this is after doing a fearless and moral inventory. So I think I'm going to talk first just about how I got into DA. I came in because I knew someone in another 12-step program who I thought was making very courageous actions in her life, and I knew that she was in DA because she was talking about it And I followed her out of curiosity into Debtors Anonymous, not thinking that I had any problem whatsoever with debting. And shortly after attending my first couple of meetings, I clearly realized that I did have a problem with under-earning. I didn't know that at the time. That was how I principally debted, but I didn't have enough money to really do anything, pay my bills. I had a job. I felt deprived. When I got my paycheck, I would spend it on things because I felt deprived, and then I didn't have enough money for essential things. So I was slowly racking up debt that I had no ability to pay for. So that's how I got in. It was the first program that I really did any step work in, and I came in with a complete lack of trust in other people and in myself. So how I had even gotten jobs, I don't know. I was kind of very clueless in life. But I had been coming to Debtors Anonymous and had been getting 90 days of solvency and then losing it and getting 90 days of solvency, being of service, and then losing my solvency again. It was like I was trying so hard to just be able to be of service because I was very uncomfortable receiving the service from other people. So I had managed to spend about a year during this time slowly working on a fourth step inventory. When it was finally completed, because I was tired of writing the fourth step inventory on my resentments, I asked a woman who I thought that I could trust and I felt would not be judging me, had a similar background. There was a lot of abuse and neglect in my family of origin. So she had a background that was similar to mine, and I admired her. So I asked her to listen to my fourth step, and got together initially on the phone with her and shared. The first thing I started to talk about was my mother, resentments that I had towards my mother. And after I turned over these feelings of betrayal, abandonment, and criticized by my mother, taken advantage by my mother, my mother was a paraplegic. She had polio. So then this woman told me that her mother had had polio also and was also handicapped and had some of the very same experiences that I had had. So this was stunning information to me, but more than anything, it was just a huge relief to suddenly be taking steps to trust another person and my higher power in the program with the hopes that I would get better, I would get healthier, that I would be able to work jobs, that I would be able to take better care of myself and earn and stop debting. That was my motivation for doing my first fourth step. And that woman, I had spent a lot of time thinking about the right person, and it talks about this in the literature on step five. I thought a lot about who this would be, the kind of perfect person that what I could trust, would relate to me, that would be helpful but would not be critical. I had a lot of fear of being criticized. And after this first person heard the first chunk of my fourth step on resentments, she was not available anymore. So I had to ask someone else. So I got together with someone else and started from the middle of my fourth step and shared another like maybe hour and 15 minutes of my resentments. And then after I had shared that, that person was no longer available. And I asked the third person who listened to the rest of it. And I felt like so relieved. But in the middle of all of this, I was afraid that I was not going to get through this process of the fifth step. That I had to trust. This was now my third person that I was trusting to get through this process with. And we finally got through it. And it was so lovely. just very wonderful to have someone listen to all of it, the end of it. And that was only after I was able to turn over my fourth step, sharing it with another person and with my higher power, that I was able to string together some solvency time. So it was after that that I became solvent for what was initially just one day at a time, but managed to string together quite a few years of solvency. So I'm so grateful for this process. And I also just learned so much, was able to open up. And really, for me, the fifth step is about trusting my higher power and trusting other people and taking care of myself so that I can continue to be willing to open myself up and trust other people. Because one of my main defects is to isolate and distance myself from other people, to feel timid, to not want to speak up, sometimes to be easily discouraged. So sharing this inventory was just the first of quite a few inventories that I have shared and worked on through the steps. And other times I have worked with sponsors. So the process of just being able to trust someone to let go of this huge burden of responsibility that I felt that I had towards, in part towards protecting people that abused me by being verbal, was a huge relief. My recovery began at that point, because I was suddenly able to be solvent. It was still a lot of work and a lot of showing up and a lot of asking for a lot more help, but I was solvent, and that was such a relief. So fast forward today, I've done quite a few fifth steps. I've gone on and done the other steps, made amends, and very grateful that I was able to go through these steps before my mother died, so that I was able to have a different and deeper and more honest relationship with my mother before she died, and ultimately was able to make amends to my father before he passed, which was just almost 3 years ago now. That was a harder one to come to terms with. But today I am grateful for the amount of sheer abundance that I have in my life. My husband is prosperous. I'm prosperous. I have a teenage son who's in college, who right now is working and taking a leave of absence. And I've just started a new job this week and during the pandemic. I've lost my work during the pandemic. And now my higher power is still there. And as long as I can be open and avail myself of the people in this program and work the tools and get help, work the steps. I can't believe how much abundance that I have in my life today. So thank you very much for letting me share. And that's all. Take care. Thank you for my recovery.
Thank you for sharing, Annie. I don't know what I would have done if I had someone leave during my sharing the fourth step. So that's a real example of brave bravery and sticking with the program. Learned a lot from you, Annie. Thanks again. Okay, hey Judy, it's all yours. You have the floor. Thank you.
I'm Judy. I'm a debtor. It's so great to be here. It's so great to be here with people from all over the country. I'm kind of looking and I'm going, wow. People from all over. And I got into DA in January of 1990. And my solvency date is July 14th of 1990. So I just had 30 years of solvency. And of course, I could not have a party because it was July and we're in COVID and we're in lockdown. But my husband did take me to a diner. We sat outside and had dinner out. And in terms of the sixth step, it's very interesting. I originally was supposed to speak on the ninth step, and then they Chris got the schedule mixed up, and she said, can you speak on step six? And I said, sure. And I thought, okay, God wants me to speak on step six. And what's going on with me with step six is entirely ready to have God remove the defect of character. So the defect of character I'm going to talk about is my fear of financial insecurity. And my fear of financial insecurity does not have anything to do with how much money is in the bank. I could have $1,000 in the bank. I could have $10,000 in the bank. I could have $100,000 in the bank, and I can have fear of financial insecurity. And one thing does not correlate to the other. And so I have to look at why is that? And really all my defects of character that I'm unwilling to let go of, besides fear of financial insecurity, if I look behind them, it's always the same thing. It's always about keeping myself, punishing myself, giving myself a hard time, not taking in, you know, like in my alcoholic dysfunctional family, being happy is not an option, or feeling comfortable is not an option. So I have to have something to give myself a hard time about. And it doesn't matter how much money I have, I'll still give myself, it becomes that what if? What if this happens? What if I run out of money? What if I lose my solvency? What if? And it all becomes about the future and fear and not enough and not living in today. And all my right now, because we're all in this isolation situation, I'm in New York City, and it's a tremendous amount of isolation. And I notice that my resentment, you know, dial can really get turned up very quickly. I can really get resentful. And the people I'm getting resentful at are usually people I'm on Zoom meetings with. And what I have to tell myself is that person is not doing anything to me. That person is just being themselves. And they are not trying to do anything to me. And my resentment is my problem. And resentment is a number one, because underneath my resentment, since we're talking about, you know, letting go of defects of character, underneath my resentment is usually fear or grief. And it is much easier for me to feel resentful than to feel fear or grief. That all feels very uncharted waters and very makes me feel very vulnerable and is really, really hard for me. And a lot of people in my orbit have died, and only one of them of COVID. I've gone to a lot of Zoom funerals, so there's a lot of grief to deal with. And resentment and anger are much easier to deal with than, and all of the steps are the same except step one. And I have to say that doing the steps is so connected to how much money I make, that it was very clear to me that after I completed step nine, which you can do after step six and seven, you can go to eight and nine, I all of a sudden made more money than I ever made in my life without trying to. And it was really clear to me that in the AA promises, thank you, in the AA promises that it says, fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. And those two things are connected. Fear of people and of economic insecurity. Those two things are connected in the same sentence for a very specific reason. Because my relationships with people has everything to do with my relationships with money. And when I came, I'm self-employed, and when I first started my business, if you gave me a job, I felt so beholden to you. I thought I have to give you my firstborn child, or I have to be your best friend ever just because you gave me a job. And I felt I did not feel worthy of the job. And that even though you could give me the job and my skills are totally adequate for the job, I owed you something huge for just choosing me. And so my self-esteem and my defects of character and what I think of myself is totally connected to my ability to earn money and my inability to earn money. And I've been solvent a tremendously long time, you know, only by the grace of God, really by the grace of God, one day at a time. So I'm watching myself with a little volleyball game of, if I'm not obsessing about money, I'm obsessing about something else. And it's like a tennis match. And if I can drop the obsession, like to explore what's underneath there, those are usually the things I'm not willing to let go of. I'm not entirely ready to let go of. And when I think about my life, if I were to let go of all these things in my head that are defects of character, if I actually was to let go of them, there's nothing wrong with my life and everything's just fine. And that's not really comfortable, because if you grow up in an alcoholic home, there's always drama, there's always chaos, there's always fighting in the middle of the night, there's always furniture being thrown, there's fights at the dinner table, and that chaos becomes a very normal way of being. And jealousy, and I want to say that jealousy and envy are defects of character that I have a lot of issues with. And in my family, if my mother and my aunt were jealous of you, they basically cut you off and had nothing to do with you, and you never knew why. And I watched them do that over and over and over. So I have a lot of problems with my fear that, I can't be too happy or successful or look too good, because then you, all this abandonment will happen if you're jealous of me. And that's because that's how it goes down in my family. And so step six, you know, there's a lot to look at in step six. And the reasons for not being willing or entirely ready to let go of whatever defect of character, whether it be fear or resentment or envy or jealousy, which are just the things, or fear of financial insecurity, thanks so much. That in that step is to go into that step, you know, right now I'm on my fifth round of steps or sixth round of steps, and I'm in step five in DA, and I'm in step eight in Al-Anon, but in that step is a rich, if you're willing to go deep in, to explore what's underneath all that stuff. And so I have an amazing life today, and I'm really, really grateful to DA. I just got back from vacation yesterday at the beach. I was there for a week. I can only thank DA for all the blessings. I can only thank DA. Thanks. So it's great to be here with all of you. Thank you for being here.